Good morning. Psalm 19, the whole chapter. The heavens declare the glory of God. The skies proclaim the work of his hands. Day after day they pour forth speech. Night after night they display knowledge. There is no speech or language where their voice is not heard. Their voice goes out into all the earth, their words to the ends of the world. In the heavens he has pitched a tent for the sun, which is like a bridegroom coming forth from his pavilion, like a champion rejoicing to run his course. It rises at one end of the heavens and makes its circuit to the other, leaving nothing is hidden from its heat. The law of the Lord is perfect, reviving the soul. The statutes of the Lord are trustworthy, making wise the simple. The precepts of the Lord are right, giving joy to the heart. The commands of the Lord are radiant, giving light to the eyes. The fear of the Lord is pure, enduring forever. The ordinances of the Lord are sure and altogether righteous. They are more precious than gold, than much pure gold. They are sweeter than honey from the comb. By them is your servant warned. In keeping them, there is great reward. Who can discern his errors? Forgive my hidden faults. Keep your servant also from willful sins. May they not rule over me. Then will I be blameless, innocent of great transgression. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be pleasing in your sight, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer.
Thank you, Beth. As always, thank you, Joe, and thank you, Marcia, for helping us with our announcements this morning. We're taking a break for the next 3 weeks from our trip through Galatians, and we're going to start walking through the time of the year where we talk about stewardship. Each year, what we've done in the past is we take a few weeks out of the year to talk about stewardship in preparation for the new fiscal year and to just remind us of what it means to be stewards of the gifts that God has given us. And so we're going to do that for the next 3 weeks. And so after that, we will go into an Advent series. And then after that, toward the beginning of next year, we'll jump right back into Galatians. So, but for the next 3 weeks, we're going to start talking about what it means to be stewards of what God has given us. And of course, part of that comes with, you know, the conversation about, you know, monetary things, money, finances. And one of the things that has become very common within the church is that we're not very good about talking about this. We are not good conversation partners when it comes to talking about finance and stewardship and those types of things. Even in comical ways, we're not very good about talking. If you try and look up funny Christian quotes about money, you won't find any. That's the joke, I think. There's just none out there. But what I wanted to do is maybe start just with some, maybe a little lighthearted, and then we'll jump into the text. So here's some funny things that people have said about money. My wallet is like an onion. Opening it makes me cry. Okay. Maybe the 10 o'clock service, you guys are a little more awake. I think the 8 o'clock service, I was trying to wake them up with these ones. They say that love is more important than money, but have you ever tried to pay your bills with a hug? No. Why must I prove that I am me when I pay bills on the phone? Did someone else call in to pay my bills? If they did, why didn't you let them? Dear Santa, this year I'd like a fat bank account and a thin body. Please don't confuse the two like you did last time. Sometimes I just want someone to hug me and say, I know it's hard, but you'll be okay. Here's a coffee and $1 million. And here's one that kind of hits close to home now. I would never imagine going into a bank wearing a mask and asking the teller for money. usually, I mean, I think about this when I go into like a convenience store, and here I am walking in, putting this mask on. I'm like, I should get arrested for this right now, just for walking in with like a mask on. Like, I'm 6'1", I have a mask, I got no hair, just come and get me. Just kind of the deal. Well, we are going to talk a little bit about stewardship. We can categorize this as time, talent, treasure. We can talk about it in many different ways. But I think what we want to do this morning is we want to talk about the heart of stewardship. And whether or not that means time, talent, or treasure, we want to talk about what it means to have a heart of a steward. And what it means to have a heart that is inclined toward the Lord with regard to this subject. And so we're going to talk about some things that will be difficult to hear, but I hope that when we leave this morning, we'll be encouraged as well. So we're going to be in Matthew 6. So if you want to, turn to Matthew 6. And we're going to be in verses 19 through 24. Matthew 6, verses 19 through 24. Matthew 6, verses 19 through 24. And as Jesus is speaking here in Matthew 6, 19, 24, this is in a little area of Matthew called the Sermon on the Mount. So Jesus is teaching. He's in the middle of a long sermon, longer than mine. He's in the middle of a long sermon, and he's talking about just really fundamental, basic, daily things. Like, he talks about anger. He talks about loving your enemies. He talks about giving to the needy. This is where he brings in the Lord's Prayer. Retaliation, oaths, divorce. And in the midst of this, right smack dab in the middle of it, he brings up this idea of stewardship. Right in the middle of it. So he says in Matthew 6, 19 through 24, "Do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy, and where thieves break in and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroys, and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. The eye is the lamp of the body, so if your eye is healthy, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eye is bad, your whole body will be full of darkness. If then the light in you is darkness, how great is the darkness? No one can serve two masters, for he will either hate the one or love the other, or he will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and money." There's three things that I hope that we can look at here today. Number one, in verses 19, where am I here? Be nice if I knew where I was. 19, 23, and 24. So 19, 23, and 24. We're going to look at the reality that the propensity of the human heart is to store up treasures on earth. That is the prevailing propensity of the human heart, is to store up treasures on earth, is to hold on to things. Okay? But then what we're also going to see in verses 20, 22, and 24, we're going to see how God is telling us, I don't want your prevailing propensity to be storing up treasures on earth. I desire your prevailing propensity to be storing up treasures in heaven. And what does that mean? Is that like some weird foreign exchange that we're talking about here, where we have like some monetary exchange of something that's going away to something that's going to last longer? Is it more fine gold? What are we talking about, what it means to store up treasure in heaven? So that'll be the second thing we talk about. And then in verse 21, what I want us to be thinking about is Jesus is talking about these things. The question that should be going through our mind is why? Why is this person storing up treasure on earth? And then why is this person storing up treasure in heaven? Whatever that happens to mean. The question is why? Why does one do one? Why does one do the other? And that, little spoiler alert here, is found in verse 21. So we're going to talk about that in verse 21, the why question. So let's jump into Matthew 19, and we'll get going here. Jesus says in Matthew 19, "Do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy, and where thieves break in and steal." So Jesus is saying that the reality of the things of this world, the reality of the things of this life, are by nature transient. They're moving away. They're dissolving. They're not going to last forever. And so he says, do not store up treasures on earth for yourself, treasure on earth, where moth comes in and rust destroys and the thief breaks in and steals. The idea here of the moth and rust destroying, it's kind of a strange little translation here. It essentially has the idea of eating away, where the moth eats away, which was very common in that time, and rust eats away. But it's the idea of consuming or chewing up or beginning to dissolve something. And Jesus is bringing into stark realization the reality that the things of this earth are in this continual cycle of degrading, of going away. And for those of us who are aware of, maybe some engineers in here or some other people who've done a little bit of research on this, there's this idea, the second law of thermodynamics, which is called the law of entropy. And the law of entropy basically says that everything in the universe is basically devolving. It's coming apart, as it were, at the seams. It's breaking apart by nature. Things are not generating by nature. Things are devolving. They're breaking apart. They're coming apart by nature, right? Look at my 2004 Honda Pilot. If you need any more proof of this, just watch me drive out of the driveway, and you'll see there's the law of entropy, right? It's been great for 20 years, by the way. It's a fantastic car. So the law of entropy, these things are going away. The word here to dissolve where the moth and the rust destroy, the idea of destroy there, in the ancient Near East in the first century, this was a term that they actually would use for medical purposes, describing the degrading teeth of people. That as teeth begin to erode and go away and dissolve even while they're in the mouth of the person, Jesus is saying, don't store up things on earth that are going to disappear like your teeth, that are just going to erode away and go away. It's transient. It's moving. It's not anything you can hold on to. It's like what Solomon talks about in Ecclesiastes, where he says he's trying to catch the wind in his fingers. Just goes through. It's gone. He says, do not lay up for yourselves treasure on earth where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal. The idea of thieves breaking in and stealing here, in the ancient Near East, people would build houses, but they would be mud wall houses, right? And so a thief would find out, okay, I want to break into that house, and I'm going to do it in such a way where no one can see me. So I'm going to go around to an area where no one can see me, and I'm going to bring my chisel, and I'm going to bring my hammer or whatever it is, and I'm going to start digging a wall or digging a hole in the wall of this house, just breaking away the mud. It's not a very secure thing, right? I'm going to make a mud wall house to secure my stuff so that I can keep it as long as I possibly can. And Jesus is saying, that guy's going to break in there and take it. It's transient. It's going away. There's no way you can hold on to it. When I went down to Costa Rica with a group of students a few years back for a mission trip, we were driving through San Jose, Costa Rica, and it's house after house after house of a high fence, gated, high fence, gated, high fence, gated. Ooh, that one's got barbed wire. High fence, gated, high fence. Ooh, more barbed wire. High fence, gated. Ooh, that one's got cameras and barbed wire and a high fence and a dog. And the reason why they keep building these things up is because in Costa Rica, in the city of San Jose and much metropolitan areas, is the idea is that in order to keep the thief out of my house, I just have to have a better security system than the guy next to me. It's kind of like the idea is if a bear is chasing you, you don't have to be the fastest person. You just have to be faster than the slowest person, right? So there's this whole idea that if I have a bigger fence and a bigger dog and a bigger, camera and, all of this stuff, I'm going to somehow preserve all of these things. And Jesus said, those things are bound to this earth, and the things that are bound to this earth by nature are transient. They're moving away. He says, don't hold on to that stuff. Don't grasp onto it. It's like Solomon grasping for the wind, and it just goes right through. There's nothing permanent about it. Do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth, where the moth and rust destroy, and where the thieves break in and steal. So the question becomes, okay, what is happening within the heart of a person who's compelled to just hold on to something like that? What's happening? And I'm glad you asked, because Jesus answers that question in verse 23. He says, "But if your eye is bad, the whole body will be full of darkness. If then the light in you is darkness, how great is the darkness?" And so basically what Jesus is saying is, the person who's over here who is holding on to these things, right, as it's passing through his hands like the wind, the person who's holding on to these things actually has something going on inside of their heart. And Jesus uses this strange metaphor of a lamp and the body, right? The eye is the lamp of the body. That seems kind of strange, but hopefully let's hopefully explain this. What Jesus is saying here is that the eye is an indication of what's already going on inside. It's the lamp of the body by which you see what's inside. So we see this, right, with lighthouses, right? Where if the lighthouse is there and it has this lamp at the top, right, it's shining out what's inside of it. If that light goes out, you have darkness. You have a big problem, especially if you happen to be on a ship. And so the lighthouse keeper is there to basically make sure that the windows stay clean, the birds stay off of it, and that the light stays lit. It's a full-time job, right? But that lighthouse is there shining forth what's already in it. And Jesus is saying the eye is the lamp of the body. It shows out what's already there. So people will hold on to something, hang on to something, live as if this is principally the whole purpose for life, on the basis of something that's going on inside of their heart, which gets shown out through the eye, through what they desire, through what they're inclined to, through what they chase after, through what it is that compels them. And it shines forth or emanates forth from within. He answers the idea, or he builds on this idea in verse 24. So let's read there, and hopefully it'll help us understand a little bit better about what he's getting at. "No one can serve two masters," verse 24, "no one can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one or love the other, or he will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and money." So the person who's over here living as if the prevailing propensity of life is to chase after stuff and things and gather and gain and put things in their barn and gather, right? He's saying that the eye is the lamp of the body. There's some darkness that's in there. There's some brokenness in there. And it boils down to this reality, that no one can serve two masters. He will either hate the one or love the other. The person is mastered by the desire for riches, the desire for gain, the desire for more. And I would submit to you that it's emptiness. I would submit to you that it's emptiness. There was a reporter who was sitting down with a well-known person back in 2005. And he asked this person, "You've done all these things at such a young age. You've had such an amazing career. You've accomplished so much in such a short period of time. How has that affected you?" And he says, "Well, it's affected me in a lot of negative ways, in that I feel like I'm responsible for everything, even though I can't control everything. And I've done so many things in my life, and I've accomplished so much within a short period of time, and I've won 3 Super Bowl rings, and I have this glitter on my fingers, and I'm one of the best players in the NFL. And I've accomplished so much, but I can't help but think that there must be something more than this. There's got to be something more. This can't be all what it's cracked up to be. There's got to be something more." And the reporter says, "Well, what is it?" And he says, "I don't know. I wish I knew. I wish I knew. But I don't know." And Tom Brady, at the age of 27, after winning 3 Super Bowls, is sitting before this reporter before this person interviewing him in this moment of amazing clarity, transparency, saying, I've done all of this by the age of 27, but this can't be what it's all cracked up to be. Jesus is saying, don't live as if this is the prevailing propensity of your life. It's like trying to catch the wind in your fingers. It's gone. It's gone. But the deeper problem is there's a heart issue there that is willing to love the gift but has abandoned the giver. Love for the gift while abandoning the giver. Someone would say, well, does that mean that all physical things are bad? Should we, you know, go out in the forest and live off bark and chipmunks and, you know, burlap sacks? No, that's not the answer. Burlap sacks are never the answer. Unless you're in a three-legged race, burlap sacks are never the answer. The problem becomes when the propensity of the heart is for the thing and finds its only compulsion in the chasing after the thing itself and doesn't recognize that there's a good Father who loves you, that these are good gifts from Him that are meant to compel your heart to show you how wonderful He is. So it's not the things themselves. It's this sinful propensity that we have to make that our God. That becomes our God. And so Jesus is going to give us, in verses 20 and 22 and 24, what it looks like to have that problem solved. So our propensity is to store up treasures in heaven by nature. We've just talked about that. But what the Lord is saying is, no, my desire is that you would be ones who store up treasure in heaven, not on earth. Store up treasures on earth, store up treasure in heaven. The question is, what is that treasure? How do you store up treasure in heaven? Is it, again, I talked about earlier, is it this weird, strange money exchange plan where this, you know, I can, you know, you go to London, right, and you say, I have these dollars and I want to exchange it for euros, and I get better value for the euro than I did for the dollar? Is that what it is? Where it's like, okay, I'm just going to not spend money on things here. I'm going to give it to the church because I want some bigger benefit when I go to heaven. Right? So this is like a giant divine leverage point where it's like, ooh, I'm going to spend some money here on the church so I can have a bigger cash bucket here, right, in heaven. It's been taught that way. It's been taught that way. The problem with that is that there's still this self-centered inclination. I can be self-centered over here and say, I'm going to hoard things for myself. Or I can say, well, wait a minute, I've got a better exchange program by spending money toward the church or doing things for the church, and then I'll get something better in heaven. So, wow, this is an even better investment plan. This is an eternal investment plan. I don't think that's what Jesus is getting at. So let's take a look. Verse 20, he says, but lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven where neither moth nor rust destroys, and the thieves do not break in and steal. What he's doing here is there's a parallelism going on here, right? Moth and rust destroys and thieves break in with this treasure. This treasure over here, moth and rust can't destroy and thieves can never break in and take. Here you have a transient treasure. Here you have an eternal treasure. Here you have a treasure that's bound to this earth. Here you have a treasure that's bound to heaven. Here you have something that is defined by what is earthly, confined in that which is earthly and transient. Here you have that which is defined by which is heavenly and confined by which is heavenly. It's two different kinds of treasure. It's not even the same category. two different kinds of treasure. He says, this one's going away. It's like grasping for the wind. He says, this one is the real treasure in which your heart should be drawn to. So how does this happen? Verse 22, he goes back to the eye is the lamp. The eye is the lamp of the body. If your eye is healthy, your whole body will be full of light. The one over here who sees treasure in heaven, it means that their eye is good. Their eye is healthy. It's singularly focused. It's reliable. It's focused on that which is good. The windows have been cleaned. The lamp is burning bright. This word here, the idea of illuminating or bringing out this full of light, is the same thing as in Matthew 17:5, where Jesus goes up to the Mount of Transfiguration. He's got James, John, and Peter with him, and he is transfigured in front of them. It says that the glory of God, this brightness, shined out before him. And Jesus is saying here that if your treasure is in heaven, your lamp will be good and it will shine out from you. It's an indication of what's inside. It's an indication of what's going on here. He says this light will shine out because your eye is the lamp of the body, and what's going on inside of there is something that's not bound to this earth. But it's something that's eternal. There's something of eternal quality going on inside the heart of that person. And it makes them think about this differently. It defines the way they understand this. Because their eyes see clearly the treasure that is in heaven. So what is that treasure in heaven? I think Jesus answers it, honestly, in verse 24, where he says, no one can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one or love the other, or he will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and money. You cannot serve two masters. It's impossible. You cannot serve two masters. You can't have one foot on the dock and the other foot in the boat. Right? Play that out. Right? This is not going to turn out well, especially if it's all of us in a giant boat with one foot on the dock and one foot in the boat. You cannot, it's impossible to serve two masters. Why? Because he will either hate the one and love the other. He will be devoted to one and despise the other. And then he cinches it with this: you cannot serve God and money. On this side, you have the compelling notion that the things of this earth is really what life is about. The propensity and pursual and persistent activity of this earth is bound to what I can gather. It's where my heart is. It's where my heart is. And on this side, you have someone who has been saved out of that situation and says, no, I love the one who is the giver, regardless of what the gift looks like. Regardless of what the gift looks like. I was driving in Gloucester, Massachusetts. And there's an area in Gloucester, Massachusetts, where you're driving along, and on this side, you have these giant houses, multi-million dollar houses. And on this side, you have one of the most beautiful views of the Atlantic Ocean you're ever going to see. It's called an area called Bass Rocks. It's incredible. You can watch the storms come in. You can watch the waves break up on the rocks. You can see the boats out there. You see the sun out there. It's beautiful. The breeze comes through. There's sandy beaches. It's just one of the most incredible areas you're ever going to see in Massachusetts on the North Shore. And about 6 months ago, I was driving through that area, and I started looking at the houses. And I was like, man, these houses are incredible. What do these people do that they can afford a house like this. And it's just house after house after house after house. And you're just like, this is absolutely fantastic. It's amazing. How is it that these people have been able to do this? Wait a minute, why don't I live in one of these houses? Why don't I have a house like this? And my heart began to struggle with something that, quite honestly, I had never really struggled with before, and that was the desire for something. The desire to live there. Why can't I live there? How come I can't be there? What's wrong? How come, why not me? And so as I was driving, I began to pray, and I was like, okay, Lord, I need help. I need help. And as I was praying, the Lord dropped into my mind the idea that if you could choose right now, would you rather have the gift and not know the giver? Or would you rather know the giver and not have the gift? Would you rather have the gift and not know the giver? Or would you rather know the giver and not have the gift? And in that moment, my heart rejoiced in the reality that no matter what He gives me, I know the one who is the giver. And I can trust Him. With anything He gives, I can trust Him because He's wonderful, because He's faithful, because He is the Father of lights who doesn't shift with any shifting shadow. He is the one who is true. He is the one who causes the rain to fall and the sun to shine on both the evil and the good. And I would rather know the giver because my heart rejoices and your heart rejoices in the one who is the giver, regardless of the gift. Isn't it peculiar that when people came to Jesus and said, hey, I'll do anything, I want to follow you, He would say, foxes have dens, the birds have nests, but the Son of Man has no place to lay His head. What compelled the life of Jesus as He walked here on this earth was that relationship that He had with His Father. It wasn't about the physical reality. It wasn't about the gift. It was about the one who is the giver. So what's determinative on these two things? What's determinative? Why? The question is, why? And that's in verse 21. Jesus says, for where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Now, this has been understood in some ways as to say that if I make myself give to the church in time, treasure, talent, if I make myself give, then my heart will follow along somehow. But the construction of the Greek here is such that the heart predicates or determines where the treasure goes. That's the way the Greek is constructed. It's not saying if I give treasure, my heart will just kind of be dragged along, you know, fighting and arguing the whole time, right? I'm going to put this lasso around my heart and slap him on there and drag him along, right? No, it's the idea that my heart is going to be drawn to one direction or another direction, and the direction that my heart is drawn is where my treasure already is. If my treasure is in heaven, my heart will be drawn there. If my treasure is on earth, my heart will be drawn there. Jesus uses this in Luke 12:21. He uses very interesting language, Luke 12:21, where He says, speaking of, in the same context, of a man who builds barns, gets riches, builds bigger barns, gets more riches, builds bigger barns, because he wants to be settled up for the rest of his life. His trust is in the things of this earth. And Jesus says, but God said to him, "Fool, this night your soul is required of you, and the things you have prepared, whose will they be?" That's the question of Ecclesiastes. That's Solomon in Ecclesiastes. Who will they go to? Verse 21, so it is with the one who lays up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God. Rich toward God meaning, I find my treasure in the one who is the giver, not in the gift. And as we talk about stewardship, as we talk about giving time, treasure, and talent, we want to talk about it in those contexts. That I give out of the overflow of my thankfulness to who the Lord is, because I want to reflect Him as the giver. He is the one who gives, and I want to reflect Him because I love Him. Whether that means giving my time, whether that means giving my talent, whether that means giving my treasure, I want to be the one who reflects the goodness of God as He's poured out His love toward me. A perfect example of that was the parsonage. The time, the treasure, the talent, the love of God poured out in your hearts, expressed toward our family as we came down here, was absolutely incredible. God is at work already in this church in phenomenal ways through the hearts of the people who are here. And for Trish and I and our kids, it was an incredible blessing to see all of you, so many of you, sending messages. Hey, we're painting. Look, Denver Broncos. I mean, it was just incredible to see how God worked through each of you. It's wonderful. That's what Jesus is talking about. It's out of the overflow of love, as He fills your heart with His love, that then you give back because you want to reflect the one who is good. And that's what Jesus is talking about when He says, for where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. If your treasure is the Lord, that's where your heart is. If your treasure is here, that's where your heart will be. But it's only as we see the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ that He illumines us to who He is, that we may be those who reflect His goodness as we serve and love one another. Let's pray. Father, we are thankful for your loving kindness toward us. We are thankful for your goodness toward us. We are thankful that you are the Father of lights who does not change with the shifting shadows, that you are true, that you are trustworthy, that you are merciful, that you are kind. That you are the one who, in all ways and at all times, pours out your loving kindness upon this earth. You cause the sun to shine and the rain to fall, the birds to fly, the breeze to blow. Lord, these are all things that are out of the goodness of your heart toward us. And even more than that, the blessing of your son Jesus coming down for us and giving us life in your name, that we might reflect your goodness back to you, that we might be those who recognize you as the one who is the good giver, that we might rightly appropriate and live out what it means to be recipients of your gifts. Father, may our hearts be drawn to you, or may we see on a daily basis that our treasure, Father, is you and your Son, and the life that we have with you through your Holy Spirit. May that be our preoccupation. May that be our focus. We thank you for being faithful to us. Praise things in Christ's name. Amen.